Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Wave Break podcast. If you're new here, I'm your host, Dylan Kelly, and I am the founder of Wave Break. We help Shopify stores maximize their email marketing revenue. If your email marketing isn't cutting it and you want more repeat purchases and higher email revenue, listen to this. We created a system that consistently grows Shopify stores by 20 to 30% or more using email. To learn more, go to wavebreak.co and request a free consultation. We'll hop on a call and talk about how you can apply this system to your business. Now, on the podcast today, we've got an awesome episode. Travis Peterson from Joker Greeting gets super transparent and he shares a bunch of different things. But most importantly, some of the key takeaways are, number one, how he achieves a 9x ROI on his Facebook ads using videos. His number one secret for staying productive as a solopreneur, and as well as how he rebuilt his brand after he got hit with lots of negative reviews when his inventory unexpectedly went bad. So he shares how he recovered and how the business is bigger and better than ever now. Let's get right into it. Thanks for coming on the show, Travis.
Thank you for listening to me.
To get started, can you tell listeners a little bit about your background and what you do at Joker Greeting?
So yeah, right now I run solely, it's a startup business. We're doing quite well. And I say we, let's understand, this is mostly just me. And my background is finance. I worked in investment banking for 6 years, but ultimately I just wanted to, instead of watching other people do things and make things, I wanted to make things. And that's when I started making stuff. And it was kind of a mistake. I had launched a Kickstarter, and it turned into Joker Greeting. It's been about 3 years. And this is 100% full-time, pays for life, pays for family, pays for kids. So it's going pretty well.
That's awesome. And now, a prank greeting card company is totally different from working on Wall Street. How did you get into this?
Yeah, I think I enjoyed my job, quite frankly, in New York. Even though there's a lot of hours, a lot of things, it's sales, but... And so that, there wasn't a turning point. I do want to be clear. I never planned to run a greeting card company. Probably the last thing I would ever think about. I'm going to run a greeting card company. And I think just being a prank card, my brother and I were actually the ones who came up with the idea. And since now, for 3 years, he's not part of it. He does his own thing. But at the same time, we just stumbled into it. That's basically it. I think like most companies, it just kind of stumbled into it. It became something more than we ever expected, and I have continued to run with it.
Nice. And now you own a niche market that, in your own words, you said, most of the competition has no desire to copy me. What's that like? Do you have any competitors?
Yeah, I feel like... It is funny. And when I tell people what I do, I run a greeting card company, most people they just can't believe that it's even a business. And I think, things are going pretty well. And last year it was, we were probably, at least in revenue, we were doing about 30,000 a year. And this year could be closer to 40 to 50, I'm sorry, 30,000 a month. And then this year, we're probably closer to 50,000. And when I look at the competitive landscape, making a prank greeting card, and let's be clear, these are cards that when you press play, there is no off switch. You can open it and close it. You can wait around. It'll take 3 hours. There's no off switch on these cards. And largely, Hallmark does not have an interest in making prank greeting cards. Even if I'm, doing really well, I don't think they have interest in doing that. Most greeting cards are probably just more kind of funny. And we actually, I think, land in something that's very funny, very different. And who knows, maybe eventually someone will, acquire me. But I just don't think anyone's going to come in and be a prank company.
Yeah, you're obviously competing with Hallmark, but really, there's nobody else in this unique space that you're in.
No, and I think on that note, we got really lucky. When Joker Greeting launched on Kickstarter, we did $92,000 in 30 days. We were on BuzzFeed. We were on ABC News. We were on Gizmodo. It was amazing. They were coming to us. And it was in that moment I learned the difference between making something viral that people wanted to talk about we didn't have a big marketing plan. We just knew that we had really great videos and we had a great product and people wanted to talk about it. And so that our SEO like launched us, you know, to the top. We never had to really spend on that. And I think if someone smaller really came in and tried to, if they wanted to compete, they would have to spend a lot of money on SEO just to compete for, I think, a small market. That it's not worth it to them, and I don't think they're going to. I have seen one person try to compete with me, and nothing ever came of it. It took them about 6 months, and they went away.
Nice. Now, quick question. This is a little off topic, but if someone gives me one of your cards, is there a secret to getting these things to shut off, or am I just put it in a drawer and try to not hear it?
Yeah, the secret is you rip it up. And it was, there was a point in time after about 6 months or a year, excuse me, where we started to debate, do we make these really hard to break? Or do we just simply go the other way around and say, how about we put confetti into the card so that if they do break it, they get confetti all over them? And that's really where we went. I realized we couldn't make a card impossible to break because Apple would probably have made technology that does that for their iPhone, at least I think. And so making something unbreakable is probably much harder than just making it funny. So we decided to, if they do break it, we just put confetti inside the card, within the electronics if they're trying to get to the wires. And so at least it makes a bigger mess. So either listen to it for 3 or 8 hours or you make a mess.
That's great. That's awesome. So speaking of this this market, how big is this market? Is it you're growing really fast actually, and you think you're going to keep growing. Do you think you're going to tap out, or just do you think that it's a matter of getting more eyeballs on this thing?
It's certainly my biggest fear, right? Is how long can we go? And originally I was like, this will probably go 6 months and sputter out. And then it's like, well, maybe a year it'll sputter out. And I'm 3 years and I still have not seen a slowdown in growth. And it surprises me as much as anybody. And I think the reality is because our demand is it's both male, female, it's almost 50-50. And the buyers are largely between 30 and 55 years old. I have 60-year-old people buying my cards. And I think it's unique. A lot of people expected us to only sell to 18-year-old kids. And so did I. But I think at this point, we're just selling greeting cards. And I think we've all been there where we walk into a store or an aisle and we're like, which is the funniest one? Is it this one? You check a card. And I think ultimately what we get to offer is we immediately let them know that this is the funniest card that they can find without looking up and down an aisle. So I think we're just selling greeting cards. How big is the market? I think it is very large now, because it's simply a greeting card that is unique and it's funny. And that's probably the biggest selling greeting card in the market, period.
Yeah, that's so true. Really, it's like, yeah, you're dominating this small niche, but really it's a huge marketplace that you're disrupting, really. Hate to use that word because it's so startup-y.
Yeah, yeah. But exactly. Disrupting, I wouldn't say disrupting, but I would certainly say that we are entering the market with a substantially differentiated product.
You're getting some glitter in the marketplace.
Glitter and noise. Look, everyone, here's, in my mind, it's this. Anyone who has ever purchased or heard or received a musical greeting card has realized that they're more annoying than they were good. And we're playing on that kind of visceral, nostalgic feeling. Oh, these cards are so annoying. Oh, my, this won't stop. And so that's kind of what we're going to go after.
That's great. So this is a really unique product. You have customers all over the board in terms of age, and you've got males and females. You have to have some pretty good marketing. Like, how the heck do you market prank greeting cards?
Yeah, I think so. The cheaper advertising, I don't know. Like a lot of this, and I think this comes in from at least my investment banking. Quite honestly, a lot of my New York work was sales. It really is. You're always selling, and I think I was constantly writing emails. I'm saying every morning, we're getting up, writing emails. We're marketing. We're writing copy, and I think a lot of that is to my advantage today. And so learning to use that copy, your experience of copy and trying to get people excited about stocks is it's not much different from selling anything else. So here I am talking about greeting cards that don't stop playing music. The real difference for me is the videos that I make. And I've relied heavily on Facebook and 30-second videos. I think 30-second for me is better than 15-second because within that time frame, I can explain it. I can't do very well with an image. It's the hardest part for me is I can't – within an image, it's hard for me to explain that the card won't stop playing music. But if I have a video where I can show my hands and face in frustration of pushing the on and off button and it won't turn off – that's really what has for me has turned into sales. And so like right now, like Mother's Day, I can get like a return on ad spend of about 9 to 1. And so it's pretty good. So that means I spend $1, I get $9 back.
Nice. And so do you have a structure for your Facebook ad videos that you kind of follow? I mean, it's obviously going to be different for somebody who doesn't run a greeting card company that doesn't stop playing music. But like, is there any kind of like formula or like, I don't know, structure that you try to follow for those ad videos?
So yeah, I'll mention just two things specifically for my cards and hopefully, I think one of them will help. So for my cards and videos, I do think 30 seconds or less for me, but quite frankly, what I'm trying to do is I have three core features that I have to get through very quickly. One is I have to show that you have to pull the tab out to get it started. So it's very quick. I have to very quickly express by pushing the button that it won't stop. And then by the end of it, I actually rip the card up. I do that within 15 seconds sometimes. And then sometimes I'll stretch it to 30. It's very fast. And I always think it's just, this won't work. Like there's no way they're going to understand all of this so quickly, but they do. So it's very fast. And I am constantly like working on it to make sure that it's within that time frame. But in terms of what's more usable for anyone else is, for me, I dislike Facebook's option to share on all of their channels. And I don't know if that makes sense if you've never used Facebook, but I focus primarily on mobile newsfeed and desktop newsfeed. And I don't even think I advertise on anything else. I personally don't like Instagram. I get lots of clicks and lots of views, but very little purchases. And so that's the same with I get everything else. Wow, my price per click is so cheap. If I turn these others on, I don't even care because they're not turning into sales. So I do the news feeds, the news feed mobile, news feed desktop, and that's it.
Nice. And do you test like different videos side by side for the same campaigns, or how does that work?
I'm just vigilant. I used to do a lot more like side by side and different copies. And I'm sure if I had the team, I would probably do this a little bit more better. Yeah. I would probably do this a little better, but for myself, I am very vigilant with my dollar spend. So when I turn it on, I just watch it every day. And if it's not hitting certain targets, if I'm not seeing the right return on it, I just turn it off and then I just redo it. Whether it's the video or the copy, or I change the demographics where it's pointing. And so that I do, I'll have like two or three ads going. But at the same time is if I just don't see it working, I'll just kind of make some notes and turn it off. And that's about all I do. I don't do any, there's no real, lots of duplicates. I've tried duplicates and all that other stuff, but ultimately, I don't know. I feel like if I just wipe the slate clean, I start it over. I tend to kind of come up with better ideas.
Nice. I like that too, because it's like, you're focused. You don't have a bunch of different things you're trying to keep track of and duplicate, and you're not in Facebook ads all day. I mean, you're a one-man person, a one-man company, basically. How do you stay productive when you have so much to do?
It's a good question. I feel like, so my business is definitely what I've learned is it runs a lot around the holidays, right? And so I've tried not to spend too much time selling, you know, Father's Day cards when it's Mother's Day or Christmas cards when it's Mother's Day. If I focus on that one, that's how I'm able to get my 9-to-1 ratio, I think, is just by purely focusing on what sells right now and not trying to sell what doesn't sell. What I usually keep myself, so largely like when it's Mother's Day, if I'm really, if if the ad is working, then I don't even bother. It's just running. So what am I doing the rest of the time? I just kind of dabble on the next project that's coming down the line, because that's what I'm kind of keeping myself busy with. If I just kind of woke up, quite frankly, being a small business and how I'll say successful it is, I don't really need to do that much day to day. I can actually just watch it run itself. However, I have to continually think about, well, what's coming in 3 to 6 months, and what about the gap here or there? So I'm actually spending more of my time developing new lines of products rather than what's in front of me today.
Nice. Yeah. And I mean, that's definitely important, especially with marketing. I noticed for myself, it's like what I do, and I've said this before on the podcast, but like what I do now isn't going to produce results right away, but it's like 3 months, 2-3 months from now when I actually start to see results. And it's cool to see that the kind of the same thing's happening with you. And what I really like about your business is the focus that you have. Like, you're not like, okay, let's try all these different ads, let's try all these different things. You're like, no, we just find one ad that's working, then we roll with it. And then we worry about, okay, let's focus on the next thing and kind of get that done. And then we focus on that and just keep moving on. I think that's one of the reasons why you guys are doing so well, just because that focus, that's so powerful.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of the, I'll call it the in and out model, 1, 2, 3. I don't have a lot of SKUs. People ask me like, hey, do you have like a happy 50th birthday? And I go, I don't. I have a happy birthday card. And I feel like if I did the happy 50th, I could do happy 40th and happy 70th. And I just have too many SKUs to worry about. So I keep it very simple. I have a congratulations card that can be used for graduation, or it can be used for, you know, a wedding. And so I just try to keep it as simple as I can. I do feel like most customers, most people, humans, really struggle with decisions. And so why complicate it with all these other options? So,
yeah, that's awesome. And so how many total products do you have?
SKUs?
Yeah, yeah.
I think I'm at about, I should know this like dead on. The fact is, like some SKUs, like I always kind of stay in the corner, and I always like, well, should I bring more in? Should I not? I think I'm like at 25, and not all of them are even are in stock. I think probably 5 of them just aren't stocked because I tried them out. They were okay. I think I'll bring them back eventually. I just don't know when. But the reality is that I know what I'm doing tomorrow, which is I make something called the Joker Cricket, which is it's not a greeting card. It's more of a prank device. I don't know what else to call it. But it has an adhesive on the back side, and you can stick it under a table and it will randomly play cricket noises for, you know, over 8 hours. It'll go up to like 24 hours of just playing that random cricket. So how I look at things is I know what I have. I don't have a lot of SKUs on purpose, but what I look at and really focus on is like, okay, how can I expand this product portfolio? And so I'm working on making, you know, a cat version and a fart version. Those ones I'm getting the artwork done right now. And I'm working on a totally another separate new device that isn't a greeting card. It's not this Joker Cricket line. It's a totally another type of prank. So those, I really kind of stay focused on those, which are the next steps and the future, I guess.
Nice. Yeah, I think that's a great way to grow. That's often kind of overlooked. Like, sometimes you can just add more products. Like, you look at Casper, like they started with just the mattress and now they have a mattress for your dog.
Yeah. I think they got bored. I think they got bored with that one.
Before I press record, you were talking about how 2017 was a good year. But before that, or was it 2017 a good year?
To put it the other way, 2016 was the bad year.
Okay, right. So you're telling me about this bad year. What happened?
Yeah, I think, and to put it in perspective, 2015 was fantastic. We launched, right, our first month of ever existing was $92,000. I had vendors calling me saying, hey, how do we get your product? It was just an amazing year. And so when 2016 rolled around, I, you know, purchased a lot of inventory, right? I'm like, here we go. Let's, you know, stakes. Here are the stakes. I have to make the inventory. I got to sell it. And I just went out and bought a lot of inventory. I had one vendor. I think originally their first orders were like, you know, 300 and 500 units. And all of a sudden, I think it was like, it was like 10,000 units or something crazy. I'm like, holy cow. So it was really big orders were coming in. And And unfortunately, midway through the year, I started hearing complaints. Hey, my card's not working. And I'm like, okay, I replace. And then I started hearing more and more complaints. Hey, my card's not working. All of a sudden, I go to my stockpile in my own, you know, what I have in my office. I had a warehouse at the time, and I start testing cards, and they sounded fine. I'm like, I don't get it. But the reality was all of my inventory was going bad. It was all defective. And the first I have, you know, you can use my cards, you can test them, and it would sound okay. But if you actually let the card play out, it would only go for about 5 minutes instead of the committed 3 hours. And so anyway, long story short, all of my inventory went sour. I had to not only take back all the inventory from my vendors, I also had to suffer the complaints of, reviews. And my Amazon reviews was probably the worst thing to ever. It was terrible because Amazon SEO was like number two. If you type in like funny prank greeting cards, it'd be Amazon is number two on my website. So with 1-star ratings and people complaining all the time, I was stuck with, I only have one real option. I either shut it down and keep what I have, which, you know, at that point wasn't a lot of money, or I just try my best to buy new inventory, trust that my manufacturer can fix it, and see if we can do it. And that's really what I went with. I just used all of my company savings that I had and a little bit of my own personal, and I decided to try it all over again.
That's an awful thing that happened, and you had no control over it. So, and that definitely impacted your business. Like, how did you recover from that?
Yeah. So what happened here was, of course, I had to go back to the manufacturer and say, what went wrong? And they said this. They said, look, here's what happened. We bought a ton of batteries from a supplier who gave us bad batteries. And so I said, okay, well, how do we fix it? They said, here's what we'll do. Every time we make a batch of your cards, we'll just do our quality assurance testing on the batteries. So they would quite easily just kind of like, you know, test them, not just by pushing a play button, but actually testing the batteries, you know, just randomly picking out batteries, and they would test them. And they said, also, how many units can we replace for you? So they actually went ahead and replaced, it wasn't all of my inventory. I didn't have a hard number to give them because the reality, I did sell some and some were used, but quite frankly, they probably replaced about 70% of my bad inventory for free. I still had to pay for the shipping, which was still really expensive. And I still had to, I forget the exact numbers, but the reality is that I just didn't have much money because I had to basically give all these vendors credits. It was just horrible, horrible, horrible. And I had to take out a small line of credit just to kind of pay for all this. And ultimately, that was it. And I just told them, like, I just tried to get my manufacturer to commit to certain quality goals. And they actually held up to their bargain. Now, my cards are manufactured in China. However, I work with a broker that's headquartered in London. And I trusted them and they trusted me. And luckily, it's worked out. I had a lot of work to get around to fixing those orders. Like the company that bought thousands of units, they immediately went back to buying a few hundred. And I still kind of struggle with some of those older vendors because they don't trust me as much. But I have newer vendors who've kind of found me afterwards, and they're very, very happy.
That's awesome to hear that you bounced back. How did you recover from, like, because one of the things you said is that you got a lot of negative reviews, and that's something that's a lot of people look at. I forget the statistic, but so many people read customer reviews. How did you start? Like, how did you increase your positive reviews and get rid of all the bad ones?
So I was really lucky because when I launched on Shopify, I never had a review. I never had a review section. I controlled it myself by simply, if I got a positive review, I would post it on my website. And that's when I mean a positive review, like there was no star system, just they emailed me, dude, this is amazing. And they would tell me, I wanted to hear the stories. I didn't really want a star thing. I just wanted to post the stories. So I would simply share the stories and experiences. There was no numbers, no reviews at the time. However, Amazon, like I said, they definitely have stars. And the only way around that, like, I think that was what really crushed me. Like, once that really hit, I noticed my sales drop, tremendously after Amazon really came back with one-star ratings and terrible reviews. The only way I could kind of get around that was like, well, how do I push out this Amazon in the SEO, right? Because I had new cards coming with fixed batteries, didn't matter because the one star still existed on that certain product line. So I did my best to actually, that's when I decided to refresh the design. Okay, the SKU is bad. Let me just erase that SKU as much as I can. So I just got rid of the SKU. I tried to talk to Amazon. They do not delete listings for you, by the way. But I had to go back. I had vendors that were still selling my product, even if I told them it was defective. It really kind of pissed me off. So it was so annoying because of that, because vendors were selling my defective product, even though I told them not to, and I was replacing them with free units. So it took a long time to kind of get through all of that, but largely by going back on Amazon with a different SKU and the same title and a different color, it took a long time, but that's what I think helped a lot. Just trying to push it down with something else as much as I could.
Yeah. And it sounds easy now that you've done it, but I'm sure it was not. And at the time it was super stressful too.
Yeah. Oh no, because there's no magic bullet that you can't tell Amazon to take it down. They don't. They say they will. Oh, don't worry. It will just go away. It never does. And I think if I were to search for it right now, I would find it. But I just had to wait around for new SKUs, better SKUs, prove those SKUs, and then I put it up on Amazon as much as I could. So, and it was only that point when I felt very, very secure about my new cards. When I immediately, that's when I put in the review section on my Shopify website, because it was the only way to battle it was by having real reviews and Facebook. Those are also all, like, Facebook's like 4.9 stars, and my Shopify is technically 4.5.
Great, and that's an awesome recovery. I'm glad you're back. Now you're doing better than ever. I'm sure there's some people listening who might be in a spot where they, like, where you were back then when you were going through all that. Like, just like, you know, it's stressful and it's a tough time. Like, if you could go back and like give yourself any advice, what would it be?
Yeah, I think to be clear, like, I never regret anything. I try not to, because I just try to fix what's in front of me. That's it. And I think at the time when I was in the middle of all of that, like, truly, it was like, I don't know. Like, for me, making money is important. But more importantly, like, I had customers that just had a bad experience. Like, that hurt me more than ever not making that extra dollar. And it's maybe just my reputation or whatever it is. Like, I just didn't like that black spot on me. And I just remember at the time, I was listening a lot to another podcast. I love podcasts, by the way. I was listening to it's kind of famous now, Guy Raz's How I Built This. And they're just fantastic stories of a lot of companies you know of and heard of. Sorry to promote someone else, not the plan. But they just tell a lot of stories in terms of like podcasts and other books that I've read. I relied heavily on other people's stories and all of their pain and all of their problems too. Every company has like a black point of where like they don't know what else to do other than just keep pushing forward, right? And that's kind of, I think it's very normal. And for me, it was a realization of like, well, here I am, I'm in like my black period. Like, I either just like close it up or I go forward. And it seems like a lot more fun and enjoyment by pushing forward and seeing where this goes for the next 6 months. And that was it. I said, let's just see what happens in the next 6 months, because that's where I need to be, and let's find out. And so that's all it was. It was holding my nose and going forward. And I think realizing that other people have done it, I figure I can do it. And 6 months wouldn't change anything in my life either way. And it can only get better. And if I have to do something else, okay. But I'll do it in 6 months.
Well said. I think that's great advice. So before we sign off and as we wrap up here, what's next for Joker Greeting? Now that you've recovered from those bad reviews and you're doing well, what's next and how are you going to get there?
I love making things. So the real goal here is $1 million in revenue. That's the goal. And and after that, I guess it's probably $2 million because we all have to have a goal. And it's all looking good. Like, I can hit all of that. But the real goal is to, how do I just make the next product. Joker greeting in general is about greetings and like just, it's not greeting cards necessarily. It's just about being connected to other people. Sounds terrible, but not in the Facebook way. But in just in terms of how do I joke with other people? How do I make both the giver and the receiver laugh and enjoy things? So I actually have two products. Like, I'm always kind of developing ideas. My wife gets tired of me always coming up with ideas and asking her, what do you think? But the reality is I've actually been through two failed products already that I tried to build and for some reason couldn't get done due to manufacturing, or it was just too different. People just couldn't get it done. Just execution with other partners. I just couldn't do it. So I've gone through two failed products that never met, that never saw the light of day. But right now I have one that's very, very close to being a reality. I have samples. Now I'm just like refining. So I could have this. I'll probably launch it in September of this year, maybe October. That's the real plan. And then I just get ready for Christmas time and birthdays. And I'm always refining and always trying to get a better return on ad spend and making new videos. So it's just kind of the daily dose of talking to customers and trying to make them happy.
That's great. I love it. So where can we go to learn more about you and Joker Greeting?
Joker Greeting, you can Google it, prank greeting cards, or even jokergreeting.com. And the reality, I have a lot of Reddits. I try to respond to anyone. And if anyone does listen to this, I'm actually quite open to explaining more about what I have learned. If you're interested in learning more, you can email me at haha@jokergreeting.com. And I like talking to other businesses or other people who are trying to figure it out.
Awesome. And I'll link that all up in the show notes below. Hey, thanks so much for coming on the show, Travis.
Thank you.
That wraps up this episode. If you want to scale your Shopify store with done-for-you email marketing, head over to wavebreak.co to learn more. Thanks so much for listening to this episode. I hope you got something valuable out of it. Subscribe to get notified when new episodes drop. And if you want to work with me, head over to wavebreak.co to learn more. Thanks again for listening. I'll see you next week.